This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Please, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Back to more of our discussion with John Snizen, theeconomictruth.org.
Where does this go?
Well, it goes to us owning nothing and we'll be pissed off. We're not going to be happy.
Here's your happy shot. You'll be happy.
Yeah.
You're so much.
Yeah, seriously. Like, yeah, exactly. And also, I think that's been their goal ever since Gro Harlem Brundtland from Norway created Agenda. You know, our common future was the book. And actually, one of my friends, as a wealth manager, he was a wealth manager at a major bank here and quit. But he told me at school, at the university, he had to read Our Common Future by Gro Harlem Brundtland. And one of the co-authors was a guy called Maurice Strong, which is from Manitoba. But his last days, he actually lived in China, hiding from, you know, I think it was the OECD that it worked at that he stole a whole bunch of money from, and so he's hiding in China, you know, to get away from it. And then he's one of the top guys that actually in James Corbett's video on the oil, you know, big oil and how they control everything. Well, actually, he was hired. Maurice Strong was, you know, found in the oil fields of Alberta by Rockefeller and then groomed to, you know, become. Actually pushed forward with, you know, the Rockefeller pushed the ESG movement in its initial stages into the United Nations. And so, but he had a co-author, which is a former prime minister of Norway, which is Labour Party, which, you know, when you hear the word Labour Party, it's basically Communist Party. Like right now, the Labour Party is running Norway into the ground. You know, they indebted Norway severely during, like, the COVID and prices. Like, my mom told me prices are up 70 to 100%. Meanwhile, the official Norwegian inflation is 3%, you know, from the government, the CPI, or the CPI, as, you know, a lot of us like to call it.
Well, so, I remember when they did this, and I was doing radio, and I remember I was at Air America, you know, in 04, 05. And what happened, they were going to have the cost of living adjustment done, COLA. And so anybody that's on an entitlement, your Social Security, all the cost of living goes up, so your Social Security payment went up kind of thing. Well, they took and they changed the consumer price index to not include energy, housing, and fuel. So if you didn't go anywhere or live anywhere,
you didn't eat.
Or eat, and you're, you know, fishing under the bridge, living in a van down by the river, you know, you're okay. But if you freaking had a life, you're screwed.
Bernie, the U.S. dollar is strong. What are you talking about?
Oh, all right, I want to show you this. This is good, this is good, good. All right. 13 nations agreed to abolish farming in order to save the planet. Okay? There we go. Now, this was Global The Global Methane Hub, whatever the hell that is, announced in a May 17 press release to agriculture, environmental ministers, and ambassadors from 13 countries, including the United States, have signed a commitment that pledges to reduce methane emissions in agriculture. U.S. was represented by the climate czar, John Kerry, that I don't own a private jet, it's my wife's, you know, shut up, you know, whatever. So this is 13 countries want to, you know, we're gonna stop farmers. We're gonna do away with cattle. We're gonna. Now they're doing this in the Netherlands. The Dutch farmers. I did a show with a guy named James Patrick that did it was Planet Lockdown. He did a video, and then he had another one, the Dutch Farmer Dilemma or the Dutch Farmer Struggle, and it was, you know, an interesting documentary of how they're shutting down. Over 50% of the farmers are losing their land. They're just because, you know, you're not allowed. Okay, now here we have this guy. He's Club of Rome, Dennis Meadows, author of Limits to Growth. And he says, global freedom movement, we can have 1 billion people with freedom or 9 billion slaves. We're at over 7 billion right now, so we need to bring that down to 1 billion. And I thought the Georgia Guidestones had half that, you know, 500 million, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It was quibbling. I hope that culling can be peaceful and slow and equal between rich and poor. But we're going to have it, okay? This is a Club of Rome guy. So I'm going, these guys are serious. They're not right in the head. They're sociopath like crazy as hell.
That's a cult. That. Yeah, it's a religious cult.
It's a religious thing. And could it be Statenist? I mean, you know, so I'm, oh yeah, I got Statenism.com. I think.
Well, have you seen this, like there's a video of the head of Club of Rome and Klaus Schwab going into it with each other. Saying that who was the first to, you know, talk about climate change or like global warming. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. That woman, she's Club of Rome?
I was. Yeah, she's the head of Club of Rome.
Oh. And, yeah, she goes, well, I've been doing it since. Klaus goes, no, I've been doing it since I was born. I mean, you know, whatever. God, these guys.
Globalist pissing contest, you know, like it's.
I'm more communist than you are. So, all right, 13 countries. All right, let's see. Then this thing, this was a video I was sent, Klaus Schwab and the bloodlines of the Illuminati, okay? Now, this just goes on about how his, I don't know, his sister, his mom, his mother-in-law, everybody is, this is a family thing. We're going to rule the planet, and I remember the World Economic Forum, I was looking at the structure of it, and Klaus Schwab has, like, hereditary title. You know, it's like...
Oh, yeah, he's a dictator. Yeah, it's a dictatorship.
Yeah, you know, something happens to him, it goes to family kind. What? You know, these guys are messed up in the head. So, John, what is the solution? Do we just ignore them and have them...
Look into his orb.
We'll get to that. You know,
oh, yeah.
But...
You know, ignoring them is probably the best antidote, to be honest with you.
But you have to actively ignore them, because they're going to come and make an example out of people, and you go, I don't care. They go, yeah, but you have, I don't care. You go, yeah, well, this here gun says you better care, I don't care. Yeah. Well, this here gravestone with your name on it says you better care. I mean, at some point, you know, you say no enough to these guys, you wind up dead. So there's going to be some kind of a... resistance, and I don't know what form
parallel systems
take.
You know, like it, no, it's going to be parallel systems.
Yeah.
And if you look at the era of the communism in Soviet Union, even in North Korea, you know, during the current regime, you know, they have parallel systems. You know, they can get a hold of things that they want and do things, but you got to make sure you hide it, you know, under the regime's boot, basically. So it could get very oppressive, but then, you know, if you have regions, you know, that are, you know, places like the U.S. and Canada are harder, you know, to govern because we're massive, vast landscapes.
Yeah.
How are we going to come up here and then try to govern me, you know, and who's going to do it? You know, who's going to be willing to, you know,
take it in the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to do it? They showed you how they're going to do it. Hell, they were practicing.
Yeah. But, yeah, but anyways, I didn't see any police out there at all. So I'm more on the countryside, right? Like, they just can't handle, like, people on the countryside. That's why they want to, you know, have you put you into a mega city and then, you know, rewild everything. Like, I talked to people that want to rewild everything because, you know, we're terrible human beings. So they want everybody to live in the cities, and they want, you know, everything else to be wild, wilderness. You know, and then maybe if we are lucky one day out of the year, you might be able to go to a park, you know, where your old house was or something. Yeah, it's all about control. But I think that, you know, if we study how societies got through things during oppressive regimes, I think, like, having those parallel societies, having parallel communications, you know, across landscapes, like, you know, having pirate communication, as you like to call it, you know, having your own type of ways of hooking up to the internet, you know, knowing people that could actually, like, send you through internet tunnels, you know, like, and then you could talk to each other without, you know, them recognizing
all that. Networks, LoRa, you know, satellites, whatever. I mean, it'll eventually happen because it has to. But, you know, here's another story. All right, here we go. You're talking about parallel societies, you know, and internet money, you know, crypto, that'd be cool. You know, there are various different ones, except the SEC has told the Coinbase that the Securities Exchange Commission wanted the exchange to delist nearly 250 tokens on its platform prior to it filing a lawsuit against the exchange. You either do it or here we come. They said that every asset other than Bitcoin is a security. Because they said, okay, you know, Bitcoin Cash is Bitcoin better than what? So what they do is, this is what I've been saying. I go, Bitcoin's going to become GoldmanSucks.gov coin. This is what's happening, what they got planned a decade ago. I go, I'm telling you, I can see what they're going to do. And here it is, okay?
Yeah.
Neon, I want
what
to...
Yeah.
I want everybody
and
to
at the same
news.
Time.
I'm sorry?
Sorry. At the same time, you got Fink is launching the Bitcoin Spot ETF.
Oh, of course. You know, of course, they're going to make some money.
That's the price of Bitcoin peasants. This is what you buy. You don't buy that, you know, like, shiny token that you could pass peer to peer. You buy this fund.
Which is exactly.
This is the price.
This is how they turn gold and silver into paper.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
They're going to turn Bitcoin into paper. You know, and,
yep.
And this is just, I'm
well, if the track record of Larry Fink and other of these elites, actually, you know, like, what Larry Fink does, he just jumps from the next shiny thing to the next shiny thing to, you know, siphon out the money from, you know, everybody that invests with his funds,
that's what their
right?
ESG thing
and,
was. Oh, we've abandoned ESG.
Their ESG is collapsing right now, by the way. Like, it's actually negative outflows, you know, in the last, like, since quarter two to 2022, there's been negative outflows.
Because
in all the ESG
makes you broke, and they know it.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is, I remember me and Tim Pachok did this. Like, we actually had a whole show on this where we went into the biggest ESG fund in all the United States, and it was just full of S&P 500. Yeah, it's a total fraud, but that's what they're perpetrating. They're using fear, you know, of the climate or whatever they can try to find, you know, pandemic, and then they pass through, like, you know, these totalitarian, you know, Brave New World kind of measures, because that's when they can do it, because they scare people. People are dumb enough to jump on all the time. You know, like, there's only a few of us that stands up with questions.
Yeah, they just do it. You know, they just need some big legislation. They can throw it in to get, you know, Congress, and they pay them off to do it. All right, here's another one. Here we go. This is your orb thing, okay? Here we go. WorldCoin says it will allow companies and governments to use its ID system. Now, this is co-founded by OpenAI's CEO, Sam Altman, okay?
Well, this is the, you know, let me just say something first. You know, you got the guy. He creates AI with OpenAI, you know, he creates ChatGPT, and it's like, well, now we got to verify you because we don't know who's human. Well, you got to join my project now.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
They can't, and of course, you know, after he went to Bilderberg, So the, well, it's been a three-year project, but he did launch, you know, WorldCoin, you know, right after he, you know, were at Bilderberg just recently.
Now, how much do you know about the orb and so on? You want to talk about that?
Well, I saw the orb a little bit. Like, it's actually a former Apple designer that created it, and it's just biometrics. Like, I think it mostly is using the retina, but I would assume it takes facial recognition as a part of it.
I think
it's an iris scan, and that exists. You know, like I've installed security systems that have iris scans. You know, that you have to get access into secret vaults and so on, right? But when it comes to those
shiny bowling ball, it's cool, man. And put your
eyeball
up to it. I'm going to put my eyeball up to there. You can kiss my butt.
And you get free. Hey, you get, you know, hold on there. Let's go see. You know, you now have, they've given away 17,491.182 world coins, you know, to the 2.185 million people.
How
to
many,
scan
how
their
many,
eyeballs.
You gave a number. How many? A couple hundred million? How many?
Well, they're saying 2 million, but that was in on July, you know, 2013. So if we went from July 2013 to today, there's only been 185 people signed up. Yeah, 2013, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. Like, I feel like this is another, you know, desperate attempt of these elites, you know, to try, because they would love to have a global Aadhaar system that they had in India where they have facial recognition and everything. Actually, talking about that, I recently took an Uber in Winnipeg, and I talked to a former top executive at an Indian bank who I bump into just randomly. And he was telling me, you know, during in India when Narendra Modi actually banned, you know, the two highest denominated notes, people were desperate. You know, they came in with their high denominated notes, and you know what the banks did? They ripped them off, and they gave them only 60% back of their 100% of money that they put back. So they lost 40% of their cash savings. Yeah, during that time, and of course, you know, they've been talking. If you look at the book, The Curse of Cash by Kenneth Rogoff from 2016. You know, he says the same thing. You know, we need to ban the higher denominated notes to force people into, you know, getting into the CBDCs or, like,
yeah,
WorldCoin.
But they gave you a media haircut for bringing in your cash so we can give you back less.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they gave it, it's 40% haircut, Ernie. Like, that's what happened with local banks. There was, like, massive lineups everywhere.
They came up with this haircut thing when they did Cyprus, and it was, like, 10%. You know, oh, it's just a little haircut. So, this is like a decapitation. I mean, after, you know, they kind of scalped you, you know, when they start taking 40%. How's that a haircut?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was in the business district, so a lot of them had a lot of cash. You know, there was actually, like, a lot of business owners that had a lot of cash. And so, yeah, that's what they did. They basically ripped them off, and it was by decree. It was by force, you know, from the government that, you know, you got to remove these. But then the banks took advantage and stole all their almost half of their money.
But how did they get away with it? That was allowed? It was just you have to?
It was by decree. The government said that we're going to remove the two highest denominated notes. The people had to give them in to get anything back. And then the banks took advantage and just took a 40%, you know, because everybody wanted it. So it was high demand. It was supply and demand. And then they took a 40% haircut off, like, so a fee on top of.
So it was going to be worthless. So they, all right, I get 60% of it.
Yeah. Yes, it was kind of the valuation event in my point of view, like, from that. But it was very interesting. I never heard a personal experience from India. I read all about it, you know, and everything. But, yeah, this guy actually was a freaking branch manager at the local bank in the business district.
Aha, we really screwed the people?
No, not really. Like, I asked him, so, like, what do you think about banks? Oh, they're corrupt. So he's like, he's now an Uber driver in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I was wondering, you guys shared an Uber, or he was the driver? I mean,
no, he was the driver. He was the driver, yeah.
Did he just leave? He said, never mind, I'm out?
Well, I guess it might not have been very popular to be a bank manager anymore in India, maybe. You know, who knows what. But anyways, like, it's just these corrupt things where they have their, they just want to get rid of, like, the only last thing that we have in the real, like, in the normal, you know, world right now, privacy is cash. you know, other than our privacy coins and crypto and our gold and silver, of course. But like for an everyday person, the only thing that they have that has any form or sense of privacy right now is their cash. Like, that's the only thing they've left, and they need to remove that because we all got to join WorldCoin, stare into Zorb, you know, and join the, you know, the Illuminati slave grid, basically, you know. It's like, and they don't even hide it anymore, you know. Like, I love the how they created an orb, you know, like, stare into the orb.
Right, right,
and join.
Right. It's, yeah. It's weird. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to show people what it looks like. Okay, this is what it looks like. That's it. It's an orb. I mean, it's about the size of a bowling ball. And
no.
You stare into. I hear about all these lines and people doing it, going up.
I want my free orb.
I don't know how they walk up to it. I don't care. It's just.
How can I be a orb branch manager? I get my own orb and then I scan everyone. We gotta join, the World Coin Society. You know, and
I'm wondering how they're selling this to people that are I don't know.
Well, free coins.
So?
Like you get like $25 worth of free coins, and of course they got to spend it with their app and so on. And it's all about, you know, creating a very easy and accessible app because he wants to create apps that are better than the Bitcoin apps because he said that, you know, we want to make it super accessible to people so that we use it. Right, and that's what it's all about. It's creating that usability for people, so then they finally, you know, jump in, and then everybody's just like, this is fantastic. Then maybe we get UBI at one point, too, because he's promising that, you know, that's the same as we looked at the creative societies.
You're going to get that's your social part of, credit score of you're allowed and not allowed to kind of, and then the one thing that a lot of people don't understand, and this is one of the insidious parts that I don't think people really comprehend. When they give you your universal basic, here's your free money, or you get paid, you know, or it's your part of your salary, or you get orb money, or whatever, it will be programmable, which means where you can and can't spend it, and it'll expire. You have to spend it by a certain time, or that's where they get their velocity of money. And they want it, the velocity of money. They don't want people saving it. They want them spend it. That guy spend it, 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 spend it. Because every transaction, the government gets a cut. So they want a bunch of spending be going on so that you spend it, this guy, they spend it, they spend it, they spend it, they spend it, because that dollar gets taxed. You know, 5 to 15, God knows, depends on where you're at. But it goes down less, that's nothing, it's all theirs. So, I mean, what is that? Is that a deflationary, you know, impact on currency or money or something when that happens? I don't know, what does that do? Because if they're taxing everything and it goes back to the government, sooner or later you don't have any money. I wonder, you know, what kind of economic mumbo jumbo is that?
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
U.S. USA News update. There's concern in Washington after 11 Russian and Chinese warships carried out an operation near Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The Navy, in response, sent destroyers to shadow the fleet before it left the area without entering U.S. territory. Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan said, "We've entered a new era of authoritarian aggression led by dictators in Beijing and Moscow." He called for a greater military presence near Alaska. The Houston Astros celebrating their World Series win at the White House Monday. President Biden hosted the team to honor their 2022 victory.
The Houston Astros, legends of Space City.
The president praised the organization for its support of those impacted by the deadly Uvalde school shooting. The Mega Millions jackpot's now just over $1.5 billion after there was no grand prize winner Friday night. That's been the case since April. $1.5 billion comes to $757 million in a lump sum. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this TV movie. Headlong down the highway and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Now back to more of our discussion with John Snizen, theeconomictruth.org.
Who is that?
Well, I think with velocity, right? Like we're talking about velocity. What they want to force you to spend it because they want velocity to be up to have inflation. So you then could create more debt, right? And then the debt becomes less and less valuable. So you have this constant, creation of new debt. And as you have velocity, you bring... Because what velocity does, it's basically people are forced to spend it. And so we get a supply of currency that has to be forced that all the time into the economy. Like you're not sitting and saving it, right? Like they hate savers because they don't want anybody to save it. They want everybody to spend it to create inflation. So you create like, and then that diminishes the value of the newly created debt and so on. And it's just like a cycle and cycle and cycle that goes on. Until, the point where people will be like, well, this currency isn't buying me anything anymore. I'm going to stop using it. And then you get the Venezuela moment where suddenly the government, they're not getting any income. There it was oil, but, they weren't getting any income. So they had to print, the amount that they were going to spend. And that created a massive supply shock of currency in the system, created a huge inflationary shock, right? And then what that what ended up happening is that people be like, well, shit, like I'm going to have to start spending my currency faster because it's not buying me anything anymore. What about tomorrow? You know, so people start then spending a lot of their currency. And then let's say it was a massive saved up amount. You could get an inflationary shock suddenly that could be 300-400%. You know, because there's a massive supply of currency suddenly coming out of the savings accounts, trying to buy commodities and food and buy shelter and gas and all this stuff, right? And so people are trying, the velocity is how fast the currency is moving into the economy. But when it all comes at once, like it did this in the Weimar Republic, you know, in Germany, everybody had it saved up and they, you know, they weren't trusting everything. And then they suddenly spent it into the economy when they thought everything was fine, you know, I could just start spending. And then that created the massive inflationary shock. And what happened is that, well, now my currency is so much less worth, I better spend it faster. So when you spend faster, there was just more and more inflation that was created because everything was chasing. All the supply of currency chased, you know, what was demand on the, you know, commodities. And so when you have high supply, like high demand and lots of supply, you know, prices come down. Or in the case of currency, prices go severely up because there's so much more currency trying to buy the same thing. And so you get that shock, and then that's just a vicious cycle. And then at that point, when the trust is broken, it's about 1 month to 6 months that before the currency dies completely. And it's dead. Like, there's no, when trust disappears, there's no way to repair it.
Well, you know,
it never, yeah, well, every currency.
With the dollar is also going to bring a whole bunch of those dollars home, and then here we go, you know, here in America. And the BRICS threatening to back it with gold, threatening to back it with some digital currency, threatening to, you know, they're going to.
They want their own SDR.
Special drawing
rights. You know, well, the people are not going to use the BRICS gold currency. It's only for the BRICS countries to use, like, the SDR. They just want to trade in between each other. The peasants are going to be stuck with their devalued currencies. Oh, the BRICS gold currency is not going to be used by peasants. Don't joke me on that.
Oh, really? Okay.
To me, it's like looking at it and listening.
This is just bank to bank to buy oil for what? I mean,
well, it's probably not even bank to bank. It's probably not even bank to bank. Like the SDR. Just get traded between countries to settle whatever they have in between each other.
Yeah, trade. What bills get paid between countries? What is that? Buying F-16?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they trading?
Yeah, probably something like that. Like I don't see anything like when you have private corporations making trades. Like the government isn't doing anything. But I guess on the grand scale, what they do is they, you know, do trade, and then you got an oversupply. You still have banks involved in this, right? Because, you know, the supply and demand of different goods and services. But then I guess they, like, what they're doing is they just settle this currency in between the national treasury accounts. You know, like in the United States, it's the Exchange Stabilization Fund that holds the SDRs. In Norway, it's just the treasury that holds it. And it shows even up on the central bank's balance sheet, the SDR.
Okay.
Right? And that's,
you know, I know SDR stands for special drawing rights, but what does that mean? You know, what are they talking about? Because I knew they were going to basket of currencies to create one SDR that everybody traded in, but you're not saying that's what it is. An SDR is what? They set an amount for their local currency or something? What are you talking about?
Well, so they can create SDRs out of thin air. They just, like, have a basket of currencies that's supposed to determine the value. It's like the yuan, the yen, the euro, and the dollar. And I think the British pounds might be in there, too, and maybe Swiss franc. I don't know, but that's supposed to be the unit. But they can create that out of thin air. They just created, like, what was it, $680 billion of it that you just trade. And then amount of percentage that you hold in voting power at the IMF, then you get dispersed that percentage wise. You know, like, Ernie, we need to start a nation state, and you'll get one of these. It's the user's guide to the SDR, a manual of transactions and operations. And this is for the Treasury Department, from the Treasury Department at the International Monetary. This is the, if you start your own nation and you want to be a part of the gang, this is what you get, and you can read through how the SDR
works. I know what
works,
the best SDR is. It's called gold.
Yeah.
You know, you want a special drawing, right? You want to exchange. It's called gold. And that's what it's going to come down to. All this, every time I talk to you and I learn this kind of stuff, it's just what a crock of crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. It's
total
a scam.
BS.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, every time in history somebody backs their currency by gold, well, they have the possibility to create more units out of that currency. And so it's just a scam, you know, like when any government, you know, touches anything that has to do with anything or banks, you know, or any private entity that can issue, you know, let's say have 100 units of gold and they want to just issue paper notes. That's the oldest scam in the world, you know, the goldsmiths, right? Like, that's what it comes from. And every single freaking time they misuse that power and creates too much units, and then the currency becomes worthless and people find that out when it's not purchasing them as much anymore, and then they'd be like, hey, this is a scam. And the cycle repeat rinse over and over again.
It doesn't happen when it's gold. Give
exactly.
a gold bar. Then your debt is paid, peace out. You know, we're done.
Yep.
You know, when they start doing this...
Yeah, no counterparty.
No what?
There's no counterparty to gold.
So, and that was kind of the promise with crypto, too, but they're trying to turn that into paper. Now, I'm looking at gold being traded in some way with the peasants. You know, one thing I really like, I see it every year when I go. Well, I first saw them in Las Vegas at Freedom Fest. But Ian Freeman, you know, Free Talk Live guy in New Hampshire is a radio program. He bought a bunch of them, and he took them to New Hampshire. Then they made a New Hampshire gold-backed currency. They're very pretty. Have you ever seen goldbacks? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't seen that, but I think I know what you're talking about, though.
It's gold that's laminated.
Yeah.
It's a vapor deposited onto a polymer. It looks like a gold bill. And the technology was invented by some professor at Seattle University or something. But what they did is they would make gold. It's like gold leaf with plastic on it. Yeah, there you go. Same kind of thing. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, they would make wedding invitations or the Declaration of Independence in color. And, and they're beautiful. And I'm going to pull them up so people can see them. They're gold backs. And it's different denominations. And the thing is that you take it, you put it in a crucible, put a torch to it, and melt it, and the gold's there. Now, they got like a 50% premium on it because you got to make it. You know, it's a pain in the butt. But it's gold. You know, they're pretty. And they're, you know, Utah's got them. I think they're doing Texas. They got New Hampshire, Washington State. They, you know, and then you get these different denominations. They go up to 50. And the 50 is like 50 times heavier than the one. I mean, it's, you know, you can feel it. But you can
it's not like the U.S. dollar where the $100 note costs only $1.84 to make, you know.
Really?
Actually.
God.
Yeah. The $2 in Canada costs 15 cents to make.
I'm seeing this. This is what's going to happen. People, now, what we did when you go to Pork Fest, you would go in and they'd have them there. And if you bought them in bulk, you get, I don't know, $50 or $100, whatever it was. I got some last year. I bought a bunch in a wallet and everything for a friend of mine that has an interest in the company that makes these, not goldbacks. That's a client. It's called Valerium or something like that, that they have this technology. And I'm going, yeah, that's being used, man. You know, here, you know, I got you a wallet full of a bunch of them. Well, what happened was you go to Pork Fest and you paid $3.69 or something for a one. It's not a $1, it's just a one. One what? Well, I don't know, it's one, okay? So you get, I don't know, it's so much in weight it has in it or something. So you paid, if you bought them in bulk, you get like $3.69, I think it was. But they were being accepted at all the vendors at $4. So you immediately got a discount right off the bat. So people go and they buy a bunch of them, they start spending them into the community. And they trade as money. For years this has been going on in New Hampshire. So, and you have actual gold. So don't tell me it can't be done. They're doing it. Okay? So this is what I see coming. It's going to be no third-party risk to where somebody else says you can or can't, or they'll pay it or don't, or they block the transaction, or your PayPal didn't go through, or charge back on your credit card or whatever. You give them that cash in the form of actual gold, and you're done, okay? It's done. Now, that was the promise of crypto. But now they're coming in, the SEC comes in, they're like, nope, they're all secured, you can't. Except that Bitcoin thing, because we're, you know, Larry Fink's got a good plan for that, you know. It's so corrupt, and I want to know how this ends, because that which cannot continue doesn't. And we are going to see it ain't. So then what? It's going to be this. There are alternatives. It's going to be parallel, whatever the hell. But it's going to be, it has to be accompanied with an abandonment of it, because it's not working. And when it's not working is when hyperinflation hits. How are we going to get away from it, John? What's the rabbit they're going to yank out of their butt?
CBDCs. That's the only way. Well, that too. Yeah, and actually that comes from. I remember I was listening to a PhD economist from Manitoba, and he basically, in a presentation, he was talking about, you know, the issues with the dangers of deflation and so on in the monetary system. And then he said, like, remember what happened in, you know, the Weimar Republic, you know, they had the hyperinflation and all that stuff, and then they had massive deflation after, and then, you know, everybody was in so much trouble, and everybody lost everything. And then it's like, you know what cures deflation, which currently we're in, but the Federal Reserve's on numbers. The M2 is like the monetary supply is contracting, the digital monetary supply. He said that we need a war. You know, like, what better way of creating, you know, getting people back to work by murdering each other around the world and blowing each other up? It's a great way of doing, you know, economic stimulus, Ernie. So I think, like, they're going to try to do their central bank digital currency, of course. But that's going to fail, in my point of view. Like, look at what's happening in Nigeria. People are rejecting it. You know, in Ecuador from 2014 to 2018, people rejected it. So they just abandoned it. It's like the ESG stuff that they're doing. You know, all the scams. I think people eventually are actually looking through it and be like, no. Like, I'm getting poorer. And I'm not getting richer here, or like I'm losing all my wealth. Why would I follow the same morons, you know, that did this to me? And there's a general consensus of more people than we think that doesn't want to speak out like us, you know, that are sitting there and actually have a brain, you know, and are thinking for themselves. And they'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to join in on this. This is utter insanity. You know, why would I trust these morons that did this to me and that to me? And why would I trust them over and over again? You know, it's like the definition of insanity. You're trying to do the same thing over and over again, you know, with the same result, but you just continue doing it. And then that's what they're doing with history. You know, you have all these currencies that have failed, and we're doing the same exact thing, just in a digital form. And they think that now they're smarter. Oh, we got a computer on the side. I'm like, no, we don't. Like, you're total, like, you're doing the same exact thing.
It's all
credibility. Yeah.
You know, now, this I wanted to show
trust.
People that, well, you know, I trust them because they're credible or they're not. I mean, you know. You can see it's 1/20th of a troy ounce in 24 karat gold. You put that in a crucible, you torch it, boom, a 20th of an ounce. That's a 50. So this is, how is it auditable? Well, you know, math, you know, they promise on cryptos, and then they, you know, there's all kinds of problems with a lot of different things. There is nothing that's going to replace having physical value of gold, silver, whatever, in your hand that
somebody
will accept. Now, the other thing is that, what do they call them? They call them... precious metal verifiers. Have you ever seen those?
Like, you're talking about the scanners that they use?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, so I talked to a friend of mine that he was talking about how, you know, people are trying to hide gold and silver at their house, and somebody had those things, and they fucking scanned their walls, and everything in their house, and they found their gold and silver in the walls, and then they stole it using that thing, like a thing like that, like actual detector.
Now, see, these things, you know, I didn't see these until it was like 2013 or something when I gave up some silver for, you know, some Bitcoin when it was like 270. Bitcoin was $270, and it was like, I remember it was 16 ounces of silver per Bitcoin. And I used to track it. I didn't track dollars. I don't give a crap about dollars. I want to know how much silver I got. And then all of a sudden, boom, it shot up, and I got a bunch more silver. I go, woo, I can trade it back in, get more silver. I got my silver back. You know, so the so I made out all right as far as silver. Now, this what I did is I came in with a bunch of silver, and every itty bitty bit of silver, every, you know, 90%, you know, pre 64 dime, every quarter, every round, every bar, everything, the guy put it on this device, and it has like a little bracket, and you program in what kind of you got in, you know,
I think it's called a spectrometer or something.
It's a verifier, precious metal verifier. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't know if it's a spectrometer or how it works, but anyway, see, this is my concern. When you go and you get Fred's Casino silver at the pawn shop or something, or, you know, you have somebody like Sun Mint, you know, Sun's Liberty Mint that was doing it in New Hampshire, Silver Dave, they were making them at Pork Fest. So how do you know? You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know, man. What do they call the Austrian...
Harmonics.
Yeah, I got a bunch of silver harmonics. And I got some nice Mexican ones, and I got some, you know, this and that, maple leaves and so on. They're very
pretty. The Krugerrands from...
No, I don't have any Krugerrands. But, you know, I got, you know, some of the, you know, really nice coins, but how do I know? You know, and especially if it's Fred's Casino silver thing that they got from whatever. You have a scale for weight and a verifier that it's actual metal. And you put that on there, and he scanned every single piece of silver I had before he gave me the Bitcoin. And we were there a while, you know. So I'm going, okay, the fact that they even have these machines makes me feel better. So I'm going, okay, gold backs, silver coins, medallion. And you got to be careful because this happened. A friend of mine was in a one of the exchanges, you know, the silver bullion buy coin place in Phoenix. And he goes in, and a guy goes, here, I want to cash these in. And he dropped these Morgans, silver Morgans, Morgan dollars, on the counter. And they could tell by the sound of them, they weren't real.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
China was making a bunch of these. And a guy bought an ATV from them with these coins, and he got ripped off. You need to know that it's silver. So just saying that, you know, if you're a merchant and you're at, you know, maybe a little festival selling a $10 shirt, you might not care. But if you're selling a motorcycle, you probably care. But, you know, this is a lot better to me than, I don't know, fiat. I mean, you know, just some crap that's, especially when hyperinflation is going, you know, a guy comes up with a wheelbarrow full of money and you go, you know, I'll trade for the wheelbarrow. You know, that's what I want the paper for. I already papered my bathroom.
No, that's what happened. And, like, look at all the fails. You know, I did post a thing just recently, and this is pretty scary stuff, Ernie, actually talking about that. I've been talking about fail nations, you know, what happens. And listen to this. This is actually, like, a list of, you know, countries' government debt to GDP. You know, this is just government debt. This is not private debt. But listen to the you know, the top countries on here. This should wake people up where we're heading here. And, of course, Japan is actually first. But guess who's right after Japan? It's Venezuela. Sudan has a hyperinflation. Venezuela's had a hyperinflation. Greece is a collapsed nation. Singapore is up there. Yeah, it's not good for them. Eritrea, Libya is a collapsed nation. Lebanon is a collapsed nation. Then comes Italy, United States. And then you got Cape Verde, Bhutan, Suriname is a collapsed nation. Zambia is a collapsed nation. Bahrain, Cuba is a communist place. They actually, holy shit, they've gone up in government debt to GDP. Then Portugal, Sri Lanka, and then Canada. So every good company, the United States and Canada, you know, up there with Singapore, which, you know, it's funny. Both Japan and Singapore And, of course, Canada is big, World Economic Forum, Young Global Leader contingents, you know, that are controlling those countries as well, right? So, you own nothing and be happy, there you go. You know, it's the only way to protect ourselves, Ernie, and this is not by just, you know, I talk to a lot of different people, you know, I try to, you know, find these stories from around the world if I can, you know, and I luck out sometimes. Yeah, I feel it's a law of attraction maybe too, that you track the people that you're interested in hearing from anyways. But talking to people, you know, one of my good buddies here, he's from Croatia. You know, he lived through the hyperinflation that created a 500 billion dinar in Yugoslavia. And he was lucky, he said. He lived on a farm. But if it wasn't for living on the farm, a lot of people starved to death.
Were they targeted? What? I interviewed a guy in Yugoslavia. He said, yeah, you think you're going to go out in the hinterland, that's where the bad guys go. They just take
they weren't targeted. Yeah, they weren't targeted. But they were actually, where they were hit is that they almost blew up a dam that would have flooded their land. Milosevic at the time, he almost blew up a dam. Just north of them, of course. And this is like right, we're talking about the area that they have Liberland at right now, right? At that, you know, between Serbia and Croatia. And so, like at that time, but what he said is, you know, wasn't for that they had their own food supply. You know, they would have struggled tremendously. And then he said the people, you know, that were kind of richer after, you know, like when it was all over, suddenly they become very rich. They had gold and silver that they had through that whole crisis. And so you have your, you know, your physical supply of food and water and everything that you need, then you got to protect it, you know. You got to have some stuff to protect it. But then on the other side of things, because we as humans, we never stay in a state of total despair. You know, we want to get out of it. We naturally want to survive and thrive. And so we get through a reset like that. And on the other side, there could be some good things. Look at what's happening to Argentina right now. Have you paid attention to, like, the anarcho-capitalists that are running for president, you know, down in Argentina that might even win, potentially? That'd be interesting, you know, having an anarcho-capitalist coming in. But that happens, you know, when nations are desperate. You know, look at Venezuela, you know, greatest nation, you know, in the 60s. And it turned into socialist hell, you know, became dependent on government spending and blah, blah, blah. And so on. And then they, I think now they're at a point where they probably in the next decade or so, they'll turn around again. Right. And then you have countries like Norway. And look at what Nigeria is. Nigeria is an oil, rich oil country as well, but they're turning into coal. Canada and Norway will follow that same path. And so will probably the United States as well. But at least the United States has, you know, people that believe in individual freedom on a way greater scale than anybody else.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.